This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Coming up today, a conversation with award-winning photographer Michael E. Keating. The former Cincinnati Enquirer photojournalist has just released a book, Cincinnati Shadow and Light, with over 100 of his favorite images from his decades of work. He'll share stories and talk about his new job with the Clyde N. Day Foundation. But to begin with, the fight for the Emory Theater. Built in 1911, the Emory has been praised for its acoustics and construction, and now it's the subject of a court case between a nonprofit trying to restore it as a community arts center and stage and the owners of the building. Have you been to the Emory? What was your experience in the historic hall? You can be part of the discussion by calling 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, post a question on Facebook, or tweet us at 917WVXU. To begin with, a look at the history of the Emory Theater with Cincinnati Enquirer arts writer Janelle Gelfand. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Janelle.
Thank you, Mark. It's nice to be here.
The historic Emory Theater has been compared to Carnegie Hall, and it was actually a part of a series of halls built in that style. But tell us about how the Emory came about and came to be an early home for the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra.
Yes. Well, Cincinnati has had many civic-minded philanthropists, and among them was Mary Emory. In 1908, she gave $500,000, which was a lot of money in those days, to build the Ohio Mechanics Institute in memory of her husband, Thomas Emory, a Cincinnati industrialist. And it was to include a hall that would be suitable for both lectures and concerts. And the architect was Harvey Hannaford from Cincinnati's renowned historic architectural firm, Samuel Hannaford & Sons, the same one which built Memorial Hall, Music Hall, and City Hall. The auditorium ended up seating 2,200. It is still considered among the most acoustically perfect halls in the country. And Leopold Stokowski, who was the conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony, opened the hall in 1912. He had personally had a hand in shaping its acoustics. It was the home of the Cincinnati Symphony for some 24 years. Ironically, the CSO board had long wanted a more intimate acoustical space than Music Hall, which at the time seated 3,600. So it's interesting that we are hearing that. And so they were there from 1912 to 36. In all, there were some five music directors of the symphony who led the orchestra in that space, including Stokowski and Fritz Reiner. And some of the famous musicians who played there were Igor Stravinsky, who conducted his famous ballet scores, including The Firebird, the pianist Vladimir Horowitz, the cellist Pablo Casals. Respighi conducted his own Pines of Rome, and George Gershwin played his Rhapsody in Blue.
And that wasn't Gershwin was here playing the Rhapsody in Blue not long after it had its premiere there.
That's
in New York City.
Correct.
Well, this is Stokowski himself compared it to Carnegie Hall, but Emory, I say Emory Theater, but it is truly an auditorium because unlike Carnegie Hall, and the other ones, what was it, the Auditorium Theater in Chicago,
yes.
Orchestra Hall in Chicago, Orchestra Hall in Detroit. They're all separate standalone buildings, but this is an auditorium within the building.
That's correct. But these four concert halls are linked in that they are theater-style concert halls that were built specifically for orchestral music, which is interesting. But the Emory is the only one attached to another building. And all of these four halls, Carnegie Hall, of course, being the most famous, but certainly Auditorium Theater in Chicago and Orchestra Hall in Detroit are also renowned for their fine acoustics. The acoustics, which means the clarity of sound, the blend of sound, how the sound envelops the listener's ear, has always been praised in this theater. And today, the acoustics are still the stuff of legend among those musicians who played there. In 1999, there was a move to restore the hall, one of many, and I interviewed the famous acoustical consultant who was brought in from Chicago to do tests in the hall from Kierkegaard and Associates. He said the hall would provide, even today, an intimate and plush listening experience, and there would be a sense of excitement there.
And it's the acoustics have been tested many times in recent times as the effort to revive the Emory has been going on. And actually, it's not the acoustics that's been in the news lately when it comes to the Emory Theater. It's been in the news recently because the nonprofit organization known as the Requiem Project, that began efforts in 2010 to restore the Emory and create a community arts center, was in court earlier this month, suing to prevent their eviction from the building. And here to talk about the court case is Cincinnati Inquirer higher education writer Cliff Peel. Hello, Cliff.
Hey, how are you?
So what is happening here between the Requiem Project and the folks who own the building?
Well, the building's controlled by the University of Cincinnati. And in 1999, the period of which Janelle mentioned, UC set up a legal structure to develop a whole bunch of apartments in the building through something called the Emory Center Apartments Limited Partnership. And then a series of a for-profit corporation off of that to manage to try to develop the to redevelop the theater. That's been unsuccessful, obviously. The theater sits mainly empty. And we've seen in our in the downtown area alone, we've seen multiple other arts projects take precedence over that. We've seen the Aronoff Center, we've seen the Taft Theater. Most recently, we've seen a renewed effort to redevelop Music Hall or to renovate Music Hall. And so Requiem Project, which is two women who have been in town for about 3 years trying to hold community events, trying to redevelop the theater, they have never succeeded in getting a long-term lease for the property. And so they sued these two, ECALP and ECC and the University of Cincinnati, to try to get a long, to force them to grant a long-term lease so they can raise the funds they say they need to develop the theater. That's a probably close to $20 million.
And there was a hearing that took place with without much resolution where the Requiem Project, Tina Mancisi and Tara Lindsay Gordon, went to court to try to get a restraining order to keep from being evicted. What happened in that hearing?
Yeah, they were denied the restraining order. And I think most observers would say that their legal case is not as strong as their public case in what they're trying to do. They make the point that non-lawyer point that, hey, UC has controlled the theater for decades and decades, bequeathed the theater with the express purpose of developing it, keeping it open as a cultural center, and has failed in that regard. And so they say that they're the ones who are trying to develop, we're the ones that are trying to put events in the theater, and we've been stymied by the by UC and the structure it's set up to manage the theater.
Now, is this too much bureaucracy in place, do you think, or is there just not a drive or want to restore the theater?
It is a lot of bureaucracy. I think part of it is the fact that UC obviously has other priorities, and they have plenty to manage up on top of the hill on main campus. Part of it is other priorities in the downtown, other arts projects. It's difficult to imagine a really successful drive to raise millions and millions of dollars for this project with Music Hall a couple of blocks away, taking precedence. So a lot of those factors go into it. But one thing is for sure is that in all the multiple efforts to redevelop the theater part of the building have been, you know, a failure.
I'm talking with Cliff Peel and Janelle Gelfand from the Cincinnati Inquirer about the Emory Theater, the lawsuit, and the efforts to restore the Emory Theater to its original glory. You can be part of the discussion by calling 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org, or post a question on Facebook or tweet us at 917-WVXU. Now, Michael posted on Facebook, "I hope they can save the Emory. Tired of the city tearing down great theaters and putting up junk." And that is something that, and Cliff brought it up, there are other arts projects here, Janelle, and I know you've been to concerts in both the Emory and many of the other halls. Is there good reason to save the Emory?
Well, that's a good question. I think there's definite reason because it is a treasure that belongs to the city and its citizens. However, in recent years, and I've been following this story for some 20 years now and maybe more, in recent years, we've renovated other theaters. You know, we built the new School for the Creative and Performing Arts, which has a wonderful small theater. And the arts groups have started gravitating to use those other theaters. So that is a real question. I want to go back to the purpose of the nonprofit Emory Center Corporation, because there are two entities that have, I guess, leased the property from the university, and the nonprofit has always wanted renovation of the hall. And the people, some of the people on the board are historic preservationists, and actually the people who are on the board of the apartment corporation as well are some of the same people who sit on the nonprofit board. So the financial structure that was set up originally, and I remember this, was set up to renovate the apartments and then provide profits from the apartments that would go back into the renovation of the theater. And that was the great hope. Then I think a lot of things happened. I think there was economic downturn. There are still mortgages that they are paying off, and up to four, I'm told. And so the first will be paid off early this year.
Yes, Cliff?
Yeah, Janelle's right. That was the whole purpose of the whole thing in 1999. UC had to go to court to enforce this agreement to set, and the whole purpose was to generate funds from the apartments to renovate the theater. And that just hasn't worked financially. As we see with so many projects here, everyone has great intentions, and then the numbers just don't work.
Well, from Britt, tweet, why hasn't UC been able to keep the theater viable? I mean, have they done anything?
Well, that depends on who you talk to. UC right now would just, frankly, would rather be rid of the whole thing. They have offered to give the theater to the city of Cincinnati. The city legal department is studying that option right now. And I think they've said they don't want to be a lightning rod in this dispute. And they say that it's not their fight. It's a fight between the Requiem Project and this Emory Center Corporation, one of these groups set up to manage the theater. But the fact remains, they're the owner of the property, UC is, and they have the ultimate responsibility for it.
And Janelle, I know you were there for the 11-11-11 opening,
yes.
the reopening, if you may, that the Requiem Project put on. Can be interesting to see the historic space, but also a bit discouraging when you see how much work needs to be done to the Emory.
Yes, discouraging because, you know, the peeling paint, it was once a very elegant, gracious space. Today, without counting the second balcony, which has been condemned, I think you might be able to seat 1,400 out of the original 2,200 safely, but there's no fire escape, there's lack of running water, there are no bathrooms, you know, kind of the list goes on. There may be issues, other issues such as lead paint that preservationists would have to deal with. So it's a lot to bite off. In the court hearing, and I was there, I think it was stated that it would be $3 million to renovate the hall just to bring it up to code, and up to another $30 million to really make a nice renovation out of it.
I'm talking with Janelle Gelfand, arts writer with the Cincinnati Enquirer, and Cliff Peel, who writes about higher education for the Enquirer, talking about the Emory Theater. We'll talk more after a short break here on Cincinnati Edition. You can be part of the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. On the way, award-winning photojournalist Michael E. Keating discusses his new job with the Clyde N. Day Foundation and his new book, Cincinnati Shadow and Light. But right now, we are hearing about the Emory Theater, its history, the efforts to restore it, and the court fight between the Requiem Project and the owners of the Emory. In the studio with me are arts writer Janelle Gelfand and higher education writer Cliff Peel, both from the Cincinnati Enquirer, who've been both covering the story. And what are your thoughts about the Emory? Give us a call at 513-419-7100. Ron from Madisonville on the line this afternoon. Hello there, Ron. Oops, here. I got to push the right button now. Hello there, Ron.
Hey, Mark. How are you today?
Very well. What do you have to say about the Emory?
I tell you what, Mark, when I was employed by WVXU for 20 years, when Xavier University own WVXU. We presented dozens of shows at the Emory, from Riders in the Sky to Over the Rhine to the yearly Windham Hill Winter Solstice concerts. And every musician raved about the acoustics of that hall. And I tell you what, Mark, it it chagrins me to think that that place may just go away. It's a phenomenal hall. Hardly needs any sound reinforcement. The acoustics are so good that you could practically just play acoustically in there, and it would sound great.
Well, thanks, you, Ron. And thanks for the call, Ron. I want to ask you, Janelle, you know, from your perspective as an arts writer, music critic, musician yourself, you know, what is it about those acoustics? I mean, the acoustics, despite all the problems, those beautiful acoustics remain in the building.
Yes. Well, besides the beauty of sound, there's a real warmth to the hall, and also you feel closer to the music. So Music Hall is a wonderful acoustical space, but it's a very large, a vast space, and it's not an intimate space. I think you feel more the intimacy of this space, but it's been a mystery to me as well why this hall, which beautiful acoustics, has always been put on the back burner as some other civic project has taken priority and even taken money away from it. At one time, the state of Ohio authorized $5 million for this renovation. That was diverted to the DAP Center at UC, the UC's Design, Art, Architecture, and Planning Complex. And so that money was lost. And you wonder, you know, how many more times will there be great public interest and it will be brought before the public and people will, you know, praise the space and then nothing will happen?
I think the public policy question here that has to be considered is, what is the demand for all of these facilities, and what is the what are the priorities in terms of trying to redevelop all of them? I mean, how many theaters do we need of a certain size? And I think everyone would agree that the Emory is a treasure, and that it should be preserved. But the dollar figures to renovate are astronomical, and sometimes the numbers just don't work with the demand. I mean, they're having difficulty with Music Hall, and we've seen the Aronoff Center. I'm not sure how successful that big theater is downtown on an overall basis. And it's just, I think it's a legitimate question to ask before we start building or renovating theaters whether we need them all.
Catherine from Over the Rhine on the phone on Cincinnati Edition. Good afternoon, Catherine.
Hi. I have two questions. Well, one question, really. The comment was made earlier that there is no running water and there are no fire escapes for the building. There was clearly running water and fire escapes for the building at some point, and I guess I'd like to know, when were those removed and by whom? And then second of all, just a real quick follow-up on the acoustics. I mean, we have to remember that the theater was built for the acoustics in the area before, in the time period before amplification. So it is unique. It's Cincinnati's Carnegie Hall. So I think that's, personally, I think that's worth preserving. But anyway, my big question is about who removed the water facilities and the fire escapes, and when did that occur?
Thank you for your call, Catherine. And I want to add to that as well, because I've seen postings on Facebook that also talk about access to certain parts of the stage, circular staircases that have disappeared along the way, too, that no doubt will add to the cost and the time needed to restore the building.
I don't know an exact date there. My sense is that that's been at or since the renovation. That was a function of the renovation that led to the apartment project. And that so it's been some time since you've had water and heat and those kind of things in the building and operating.
There's minimal heat. There's minimal heat probably to keep the pipes from freezing.
Well, I do know that one of the stories going around is that the water was cut off at the street, so that actually restoring the water will be quite a challenge. We're talking about the Emory Theater, its efforts to restore it that have happened through the years. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. And you mentioned the second balcony being condemned, Janelle. And I was reading in my research for this conversation about how the Emory was one of the first theaters that had an unobstructed seating, that there's nothing in the way. I mean, even in Music Hall, there's a column here and a column there. And it seems that second balcony being held up by the one I-beam, and I guess it's the one I-beam that's rusting through that they had to condemn it for? Do you know about that?
I don't know. I think there was lack of access from what I heard, but I don't know. But I know that construction of those balconies was really something unique for its time. And I believe it was the first concert hall to have unobstructed views.
513-419-7100, the number to call on Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU. Talking about the Emory Theater, the court case with Requiem Project. Now, this the court appearance that happened, Cliff, it was not necessary. Not much was resolved. The Requiem Project did not get their temporary restraining order. So, does that mean they are now evicted?
Yes, they no longer have the legal right to be in that theater, my understanding. But there's another hearing scheduled for late September. I've talked to some of the attorneys in the case who say that that's more a report. They don't expect much dramatic new to happen there. But we should expect more, you know, a renewed added complaint from the Requiem people. They want to put more charges against UC. They want to amp up the pressure on the university to take some responsibility here.
Joe from North College Hill is on the line and remembers the last tenant of the Emory. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm the president of Ohio Valley Chapter American Theater Organ Society, and we were the last tenants in Emory Theater. We were there for 22 years.
And
we had the Mighty Wurlitzer in the theater, and in 1999, as the proposed apartments were going to be, we found it necessary to take the organ out and vacate the theater. I can tell you at the time that we left, which was 2 weeks before Christmas in 1999, that the theater still had its full function of utilities and such. Now, whatever happened between the time that we left and the time that the Requiem Project took over was night and day difference when I saw the theater for the first time later. It was obvious things that were done to the theater, things that were removed, the way the fire sprinkler was ran because of the code necessities for the apartments next door. It was obvious that the theater was never going to be used again. So it kind of surprised me what I saw 8 years later after we had left.
So you don't think it can be recovered, Joe?
Oh, yes, I do. I think it has to be recovered. It can never be replaced. That's the bad thing about it. All the workmanship and the old craftsmanship and the tiles and the artwork and the castings of the molds, those are things that can't be replaced anymore. You may have a nice Aronoff theater down the street, but it doesn't have the charm and the history of an Emory theater. So what price do you pay? Where do you draw the line to say, yes, this needs renovation, or no, it's not worth it? To me, as we were there for 22 years and hosted many of those events that you heard the former caller from WVXU, there were many events at Emory Theater. And since we were the caretakers of the theater at the time, we ran the theater for every event necessary. I mean, even The Rage in Harlem was a movie that debuted on the Emory stage. All the actors, it was a big deal. And, of course, all those things are gone since the theater's been boarded up, but I was at the 11-11-11 as well, and when I heard Over the Rhine take that stage and that sound filled that auditorium again, it just gave me goosebumps as to what should really be. Well, so, yes, I think all efforts have to be taken in order to restore the theater to a modern-day performance center.
Well, thanks for your call, Joe. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your input there, too. And you had mentioned, Janelle, for more than 20 years you've been covering it, and there have been a number of efforts at trying to restore the Emory.
I think so, and I also believe other organizations, the Chamber Orchestra, I believe, played there at one time briefly. The question is, can the city afford another major capital campaign when so many of our cultural icons need millions and millions of dollars? I think the one thing that came out of the court hearing that everyone agreed upon was that it needs to be saved. I don't think anyone wants to see it destroyed or demolished or made into apartments, anything of that nature. Could it be included in a potential cultural arts tax that is being proposed? It's something to think about. maybe more realistic would be to try just the $3 million job to the tune of $3 million to upgrade it.
Well, and I was going to say, and you mentioned this already, Cliff, talking about where would the money come from, and there are many many people with many projects that are going on right now.
Right. Janelle's obviously right. I mean, everyone wants to save the theater, and I think the people at UC realize that it's not part of their core mission, and that they would rather, at this point, having become a lightning rod for this dispute, they would rather be out of it. And so I don't know if the city's going to do that or not. And I know there will be a lot of variety of opinions on whether that's a good idea or not. But one part of the bequest is that it has to be managed by a public entity. You can't lease it to a private developer and let them try to do it. So it always will be owned, controlled by a public entity of some sort.
A familiar name to many music fans around town, Carmen De Leon, on the line. Good afternoon, Maestro. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I'm listening with a lot of passion here about this because, like Janelle, it's been a part of my history for ages as well. But by the way, I think right away that the organization that was trying to do some good of recent years had an unfortunate title. Requiem doesn't seem to quite describe what we were trying to accomplish here. But, you know, I remember my student days being able to play at all these wonderful theaters downtown in Cincinnati, the Emory, the Fox, the Palace, the Schubert. This is where I got some of my playing education, and suddenly overnight these places were all gone. And I think that the city deserves to try, certainly, not to try, but to preserve the one wonderful auditorium, probably better than all of the ones that I've just mentioned, in the Emory, to make sure that it remains there. There was also a period of time in the early 70s when a renovation at Music Hall was taking place, and the orchestra, the Cincinnati Symphony, I was conducting at the time, had to go to the Emory to rehearse, and actually I believe I gave some children's concerts there. And the thing that everyone says about the acoustic is absolutely true. It is an amazing auditorium in all aspects, and that top balcony does need to be reestablished, even though it would be a perfect size hall even without it. I think that's an important part of any renovation that might take place. But I'm from northeastern Ohio, and the Ballet Company recently gave some Nutcracker performances up in Cleveland in their theater district. Cleveland is a city that did not demolish their theaters. Likewise, Columbus, likewise, Dayton. Cincinnati, we should feel ashamed of the fact that we did not maintain a theater district like those other cities, and they're booming. They're doing so well, especially in Cleveland, as a very good example, and all the more reason to make sure that the Emory remains.
Well, thanks for your input, Carmen. I greatly appreciate it, and yes, it is a shame that we've lost so many of those. I mean, a number of those theaters. I don't quite go back that many years here in Cincinnati, but it wasn't long after I moved here that we lost, what was it, the Schubert that got knocked down to build the Westin, or was it the Albee? Well, one or the other.
The Emory was torn down for the Westin. The Schubert was one of the first that went down with a lot of rancor about it, and so then the rest were just torn down overnight practically to avoid the litigation. But if I can mention one more thing that I carry around with me, a photograph that was published in the newspaper back in 1927 that shows George Gershwin walking with Fritz Reiner, who was the conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony at the time. They're getting ready for a performance of the Rhapsody in Blue and the Concerto in F, and they're walking down the alleyway next to the Emory Theater, and that's because Reiner decided that he preferred to perform at the Emory Hall rather than at Music Hall during most of his tenure. So it just shows the importance of that theater. And I was encouraged by the very eloquent gentleman who spoke on behalf of the apartment complexes there at the Emory, that you know, there was not a wrecking ball due to come in and just tear things down, that everyone wants to preserve the theater, and it just must happen somehow.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmen. Appreciate it. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. VXU. I'm here with Janelle Gelfand and Cliff Peel from the Cincinnati Inquirer talking about the Emory Theater. We just have a couple of minutes left here. And you know, all these people want to save it, but again, with the condemned second balcony, with a lack of water, it's going to take a lot of money to restore to its former glory.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone in any position of authority would put it quite this way, but I don't know if we're in a position where you have to choose between Music Hall and this project, and that's a pretty difficult choice.
Yeah, there are people who are saying, well, we should mothball the Emory for another 20 years and then see if there's money. It would be nice if somehow the Emory could latch on to that, you know, that renaissance that's going on and over the Rhine, the amazing things that have been happening from Washington Park throughout over the Rhine. It could just be another jewel that we would have an over the Rhine, and it would be a shame to let it just lie dormant another 10 or 20 years.
We'll take one more call. Robert wants to talk about restoring and preserving the Emory. Good afternoon, Robert.
Hello there. I have been involved. I've lived in Cincinnati for all of my 73 years and have been involved with the university for more than 50 of those years. And I love the university. But the Emory is something that resonates far more in its need for this city than much of what the university has done in recent years. Its acoustics, I can attest to by having gone to hear Hal Holbrook in his Mark Twain soliloquy, and at a whisper you can hear in that auditorium anything said on the stage. So I really hope that the needs for other parts of the city that expand out from the core will not reduce the need for our arts in the central core, the Schubert, where I saw Joseph Schildkraut in the Diary of Anne Frank. So much of that has been lost. And I hope we don't lose more with the loss of the Emory. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, one thing that the university has done, a decade or so ago, they got in some trouble by trying to play real estate developer. And clearly the powers that be at UC have made the decision that they're not going to do that again. And probably a wise choice financially, but it leads to directly to this situation.
Well, we've run out of time. I greatly appreciate the time both of you have put in today. I've been talking with Cliff Peel, the higher education writer with the Cincinnati Inquirer, and Janelle Gelfand, the arts writer from the Cincinnati Inquirer. The conversation about the Emory and the Requiem Project continues online at WVXU's Facebook page. In just a moment, former Inquirer photojournalist Michael Keating joins me to talk about a new book of his images, Cincinnati Shadow and Light, and about his new job with the Clyde N. Day Foundation. Some interesting stuff. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.